And it's recording now.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
So what'd you say you're doing?
Playing Roblox.
Playing Roblox?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Fun?
Yeah. But what all does it mean? Like, you've been bugging me for Roblox box. Roblox.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna pause.
You're using the wrong controller.
Am I? Am I really? I was looking for the mute button, but I couldn't find it, so I just hit off. That was such an old dad thing to do.
You pulled a boomer.
A boomer.
You pulled a boomer!
Well, I'm really sorry.
I didn't want to turn off. Mickey Mouse for you!
What are you, a Mickey Mouse Nazi? No Mickey for you!
Joke's on your control.
Look at you. Look at you go, my techno whiz kid.
Because I have the remote.
She has the right remote. I had the TV remote, and she had the Fire Stick remote. Anyway, this is the San Carlos Computer Club from February 16th, 2020. BB is looking at me with wide eyes because she's surprised I got the date right.
Yeah.
And don't you miss our club? You spent 2 weeks with us. We miss you.
I miss you guys already. I felt like I've known you guys for 5 years. I feel ancient.
You feel ancient now. You're an ancient part of the San Carlos Computer Club. Do you have any topics for us this week? No? Except, Poppy, you have to research Roblox.
Yeah.
Roblox, because I want Roblox.
I was going to help you out this weekend, wasn't I?
I think so. Well, we should get on that. But maybe after I finish editing the podcast for the San Carlos Computer Club. And we will call this the end of the intro because BB's about to turn Mickey Mouse back on.
Fun.
So, this is it. This is your intro for this week for the Computer Club from February 16th, 2021. Did I say 2020 or 2021?
I wish it was.
You're wishing it was.
I hope it's 2021.
This is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
And we're here to say, tech on!
Tech on!
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye!
Years ago, when I stayed in a hotel, they had one wing shut down because the water pipes had all frozen on them because they had them in the outside wall, outside uninsulated walls. That's where they kept their water pipes.
Is that when you're in New Orleans?
Oh. No, I was never in New Orleans. Atlanta. I was in Atlanta.
Hey, Paul, what is it that's got you down this morning?
My stupid internet. So I'm downstairs in my laboratory here, and I tried to log on to the internet last night on my computer, and it went to the provider or you know, my internet name.
Right.
And it said connected, no internet.
Okay, that's from your computer. Your Windows 10 device is telling you that.
That's right, yeah. So I went on my phone and I tried to log on to the internet and it says connected, no internet. But when I go upstairs, the other computers are connected perfectly to the internet. And I've looked at every screen possible that I could find on my phone and still cannot connect.
Have you solved it?
No, I haven't. Okay. Now I'm downstairs with a borrowed computer on top of my other computer, and I'm getting internet on this one that I've got on top of it. It's sort of like, you know, when you get when your TV broke and you got a new TV and put it on top of the old one.
Right.
Okay, hey, echo stop.
In the M5 echo. Connections on yours that is most closest to you, does that have a red light on it or a blue light?
An M5 connection.
Your mesh network, the new network you installed.
Your deco.
Oh,
what's the
light?
Well,
you know, I can't access them with my computer.
Physically look at it.
My phone.
Look at the top of it. There should be a green light.
On top of.
Look at my screen.
The little flying saucer.
Look at my screen, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a green light.
There is definitely a green light.
And I unplugged it and rebooted it.
And you definitely have a green light.
And it's got a green light. Let me check again.
Yeah.
Oh, it shows a big, strong signal, but it says no internet. So it's connected, no internet.
Do you have Ethernet connected to anything on it?
No.
Wow. So you would imagine it's connected to the other deco, of course.
Yeah. And on my phone, of course, I cannot check them because my phone isn't connected to the internet. You know, actually, it's connected to T-Mobile's internet, which is how I could get attached to you guys this morning.
Okay. And Paul, you're comfortable with switching Wi-Fi networks when you have more than one option? Like, you could try switching back to it?
I get the list of, you know, I mean...
Yeah, you get the list of Wi-Fis, and you can double tap on it and get it started, and it'll say no internet, and then it'll switch back to T-Mobile.
My phone is that, and I went to the list of internet available on the phone, and I turned T-Mobile off, so then I didn't have any internet. But I thought maybe it was preferential. Sure.
Which actually it is, which is one of the frustrations I've had recently because I added the M5 as a separate network. My intention was for it to overlap and replace the old network, and I was going to rename it the same as the old network. But because the kids and I were putting it together, we decided to give it a different name just so we could have one that was working and we could take our time trying to get the other stuff working. And I've never cleaned up behind. I've never done the housekeeping. And it is very preferential. I'll sit in the can, and I need access to my original network. And it'll keep jumping over to the mesh network because that signal's so much better.
Yeah, so with my phone, maybe it's preferring T-Mobile.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at in the roundabout sort of way is I think you made the right decision to forget it just so you could eliminate that, because the preferential thing will make you crazy. I found myself continually having to reconnect myself to the other network because the mesh network has such a great signal.
It's kind
of like the opposite of what you've got going on. You have no internet through the mesh network, so your phone keeps wanting to go back over to the one where there was internet.
Yeah.
Morning, Fred. Fred, give us a level. Can we hear you? Perfect time to find out.
Hello.
Hello. You sound great.
Good.
Are you on the iPad?
So... you guys are talking about the deco, and I had the same issue with my Windows machine the other day. And two nights ago, I had the issue with the Roku TV. I was watching Netflix, and in the middle of my movie, I had no internet, and it's through the deco. And I was afraid to go on to one of our other networks because it seems that the app on the phone has to be on the same network as the TV. So... I just waited, and it redid itself in about 15 minutes.
Well, I wonder, and Paul, have you tried unplugging everything and plugging it back in? I mean, I'm assuming you have.
I unplugged the modem and the router, the central D5.
Right.
Or R5.
So
let them reboot.
Morning, Chester.
And
good morning.
So... that sounds right, Paul. I mean, just to reiterate, since we're all Computer Club members, we should all know that if you're dealing with this problem, the first thing you should do is reboot your modem that comes from your internet provider.
Yeah.
And then since you're in a mesh network situation, you would want to reboot your router, that base one. And then you would want to go out from there. You'd want to reboot the extenders. Those extending nodes. You'd want to go in that order to make sure that you'd covered all your bases.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did.
And still, you're not getting internet on your phone or your computer, but there are computers upstairs that are getting connected.
Yeah, and the one that I borrowed from upstairs is doing fine. But from here, I can also hit the central router. You know, I don't need the satellite.
But do you think
signal from there?
Do you think that you're still connected upstairs with the computer you borrowed?
I don't know. I've never put TP-Link on the computers to check the thing. You know, I always use my phone with the app.
Hey, is there a Windows app for it? I didn't think there was.
I don't know.
Have you rebooted your phone?
I've turned it off and turned it on. I didn't.
That's not rebooted.
Okay, so how do you reboot it?
You have to do I don't know what kind of phone you have, Scott.
I mean, it does depend on what kind of phone you have.
It's a Motorola.
Yeah, if you hold the power button, it should give you a screen with a swiper or a button to either shut down or reboot.
Yeah, I've done that.
You've done that.
Restart.
Okay. Yeah, the restart. That should do it. And it's significant that you can't get on with two computers, and both of them are spending their times downstairs, but you can't get on upstairs either, huh?
Not with my phone, no.
Not with your phone. And you haven't brought the computer upstairs this evening.
No. No, I haven't.
You know, at this point, I mean, other than I don't want you to get disconnected during our meeting because we're about to officially start it. After we're done, I would unplug your extender and see if that borrowed computer continues to run downstairs.
Okay, I'll do that, yeah.
If it does, then it might be that extender that's the issue, because the equipment you already have downstairs is probably preferring that extender.
Yeah.
Of course, they're supposed to float. This mesh is supposed to float from one device to the other device.
Right, yeah. Well, I'd be pulling my hair out, but it's too short. I could pull my beard out, I guess.
Well, how's everybody doing this morning? Just to let you know, I have hit the streaming button because I forgot to hit it last week.
So we had an interesting thing here in San Carlos. I guess we had a blackout that knocked out one of the tower routers per Juan. And it went all over as far as Guadalajara is what he told me, but I only read as far as Chihuahua. But
well, I'm not certain about all that, but I could tell you the experience we had out here in the Ranchitos, and I was hoping to ask you guys about your experiences.
The Ranchitos.
What's that?
I do live in the Ranchitos. I live in Loma del Mar.
That's right.
In the Ranchito.
So yesterday. Oh, and let me just say, this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and I'm here to help. If you guys need help, I can get into your computer remotely, and I can do things for you. If you're looking for help, you can send an email to remote@internationalcs.net. That's my official plug for today's meeting. And I wanted to tell you guys about what happened to us in the Ranchitos yesterday while I'm doing work and my kids are at school. We had three power fluctuations, and they were so subtle, you wouldn't have recognized. The only reason I was aware of the first two was because my battery backup in the house started beeping. But all the equipment in my office stayed on, my kids stayed online, we all stayed online. But I noticed that my battery started beeping. I'm like, hey, that's weird. Because everything's up and the battery only beeps when there's no electricity. And then probably about less than 10 minutes later, it beeps again. Like, still weird. I wonder what's going on. But I look over. I'm online. My kids are doing their stuff. I mean, it hasn't even dropped the power. It's not like things are rebooting and getting started again. It's just like something fluctuated. And then
was it like between 10:30 and 11 in the morning?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's the same thing, because mm-hmm. on the third one, I lost the computers in my house that are on that battery. I hear the battery come on, and this time both the Macintoshes crash because that battery's old and doesn't have enough electricity to keep them running. So they crash, and I hear them on the restart, and I look over, and right in front of me, you guys don't know this, but as I'm peering off at you guys, I can also look at all these lights on my network equipment. And the network equipment is telling me that the Telmex DSL is rebooting. And I can see the light for Juan's connection. And I can see that it's not behaving correctly. And so we've lost both internet connections. The monitor that I'm looking at your guys' pretty faces on, it went black and then started back up at the same time I heard my computers in the house reboot. And so this time I know there's been a surge or a power out, and the kids are getting a little nervous because one of them's got class starting in 10 minutes. And I'm watching the DSL modem, and I'm texting Juan to let him know, because his link was the first to be back up, but I had no internet. And I could reach all the way out to his main connection. I could make that connection all the way there using a ping command, but I couldn't go outside of his connection. And
right,
I'm watching
a link, Wymus link something, and then it would go, K cannot connect. And so I couldn't even get to him on WhatsApp. It was WhatsApp was down as well.
Well, actually, your Wi-Fi was down. You probably, if you could have gotten over to the cell network, you could have gotten a hold of him.
No, I could not.
Well,
because
you can get
WhatsApp goes off my cell network.
Okay. Well, I was able to get a hold of him. I used Facebook Messenger. All I did was switch over to cell data. I just turned off my Wi-Fi and used Telcel. But the DSL from Telmex wasn't coming back up. And anybody that's had a DSL connection knows that, like, you reboot the DSL and you wait for a DSL light and it flashes and flashes and flashes, synchronizing. And then finally it's solid. And then an internet light will turn on and now you can use the internet. And in this case, there was no DSL light. It was just completely dead. Like, Telmex was shut off on the other end. So Juan was shut off on the other end. Telmex was shut off on the other end. And that went on for a good 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And then Telmex was back up. I was almost ready to report Telmex, and they were back up. And so my kids were doing their stuff at less than 10 megabits a second. And then probably in less than an hour, Juan's connection came back up.
Right. He had to do something with a modem on his tower, I think is what he told me.
Oh, okay.
Because my modem from Juan went, it had an orange light rather than two greens. And so when I told him that, he said, give me 5 or 10 minutes. I'm working on it. So then he actually called me and asked me to go down in seconds.
Go down in what?
And everybody's frozen.
My modem, because it was up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he sent me a message as well going, everything should be up now. And I hadn't had a chance to tell him. I know. I got it. It's working. It's awesome. I wish I had more upload speed. I don't know what's happened with his system. He hasn't given me a straight answer.
Geez, mine went to 75 download and 75 upload. And he said, you're one lucky person.
Yeah. No, and I was getting those kinds of speeds when I first hooked up with him. And now I can get over 90 at times. But uploads are always really slow. They're always like 14 at most.
No, mine are better than that usually. Hold on, I'll check.
Well, hopefully we don't use up all the best bandwidth for our conversation.
Hopefully my brownout resistant power bar worked for me. Because if the voltage drops below 90, it shuts off. And when it comes back up, because I have a freezer and a refrigerator attached to it.
Right.
So it's
right. I'm
so did you have a refrigerator that you could tell was suffering or air conditioner that was suffering?
No, in fact it was so unnotable that the surge had happened that I'm thinking maybe it was a spike in voltage, not a drop in voltage.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because everything just kept purring through the first two.
And you didn't smell any brown, huh?
No, nothing. I'm coming through on somebody's speakers. I'm sorry to say.
So I just checked and mine is 35 download, 71 upload.
Ugh. That leaves you with mixed feelings.
Makes me happy.
I'd be really happy to have that upload speed, but I am getting faster than that download.
Now that's different, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome everybody. I see Dave showed up. Sid's here. Kathleen's joined us. Good morning, everybody. We were just talking about the voltage surge that hit us yesterday morning here in San Carlos that seemed to affect people across the city.
It was across the northern part of Mexico. I read on Mexico News Daily that their natural gas supply from Texas had something that happened to that with the cold snap. So it caused a lot of the power grid to go down.
What happened in Texas was that they had rolling brownouts or rolling shutdowns, and therefore that affected the compressors that push gas down to Sonora. A lot of it was caused by the fact that Texas has 25% of its power coming from windmills in West Texas now, and those windmills froze up, so they didn't have enough power.
Wow. Wow. Unforeseen. Who knew? Chester, I hadn't heard that at all. So let me just reiterate. What you're saying is that because of the Texas power problems, they weren't able to pressurize gas lines that Sonora depend on.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I don't know about the pressure part, but it was on Mexico News Daily that they were not getting enough. And that makes a lot of sense, Chester, that's why it wasn't pushing gas down.
Wow. I mean, that just brings all kinds of questions to mind. I mean, including, don't we have national gas? You would think a federal electric company would be using national gas.
They rely a lot, especially up here in the northern part, on U.S. natural gas.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, when I say natural gas, I mean national gas. Is that what I said? I thought I said that.
Said national, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, read the article on Mexico News Daily.
Hey, can you send me the link?
Sure.
Have you got it?
I'll find it.
That would be awesome. I'd love to read it.
Okay.
Because really, here in the Ranchitos, it was just a sputter of our day. But then you look at Texas, and I couldn't imagine. Can you imagine being in Texas, dealing with snow and temperatures like you're in Canada?
Well, my Canadian cousin is in Katy, Texas. And yesterday she had power outages, but the day before that, before the snow hit, when it was just cold, she's waiting in the grocery pickup lane for her online delivery of the groceries, and her car battery quit. so she had to call AAA to get her car boosted, and she said, "This is Canadian activity, not Texas, you know." And anyways, I think I've got her making a snow angel today. So,
but is she? And she has power now.
Yeah. Well, it was off and on all day yesterday. I think they were 3 hours without it during the day, and then last night I saw it at about 7 o'clock. She said, "Power's gone again." So,
stuff like this also makes me think about electric vehicles too. Like, here's a freak storm no one was expecting. Takes out the power grid, and we're in the midst of this transition over to alternate power sources.
Well, I was interested when you said about the windmills, Chester. I thought, oh no,
I was surprised to learn that 25% of Texas power supply is from windmills.
I was too, especially because, you know, our pipelines and everything, and we're the pipeline capital of Canada. We've been talking about replacing it with all kinds of windmills and stuff. So that's interesting that they froze.
Well, it's similar to what you have with an airplane wing. When you get icing conditions, well, it imbalances the blades on the windmills. And then they also had a problem with no wind. So they just didn't have enough standby power to supply the state. And so they have rolling blackouts. And with another storm coming through this week, they'll probably have it again.
Well, that's a good argument for fortifying electrical systems, maybe staying with traditional and alternative at the same time, just like a backup generator for a hospital when their electricity goes out. Maybe we need a backup generator for our state.
Well, that gets expensive, and what this also shows is the vulnerability of relying on windmills and solar power.
I was just thinking the same thing. It'll be interesting because this storm will force them to analyze this. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes for the windmills that were damaged to get back online and how much it'll cost to bring them back online in comparison to just regular line operations, which is what you would have going to a traditional power supply.
I doubt they were damaged. They were probably just shut down.
Probably just shut down.
Well, that's the big thing with like wind and solar right now. And Tesla's building battery farms in Australia for the same reason. It's you have to store that energy. So when the system is not producing as much as it needs, you have something stored to use. It's like, Scott, you and me discussing having a battery bank to back up your solar for during the day or during the night. It's the same principle.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
On the news yesterday, and someone put out a statistic. I can't remember the specifics, but it was a horrendous amount of battery storage would be required to supplement this problem. I understand that the battery capacity that would be that could be made available would take care of 14 seconds of the needed power. It's just the vulnerability of wind and solar.
Sure. No, it's wow. And to have it fluctuate electricity here. I mean, like there's no snow here, in case you're curious. we're not suffering any storm here.
Well, in California, they have rolling blackouts because of the too much wind when it jeopardizes the power lines. PG&E turns them off.
Yeah, I thought...
Because they had so much trouble with fires.
I was going to say, Paul, I thought rolling blackouts in California were just a tradition.
Well, because the afternoon... the evening air conditioner wave, you know, that caused a lot of problems. But here's a real head-scratcher for you. A friend of mine sent me a picture of a electric car charging station powered by a diesel generator.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
I have a question about electric cars, now that we're kind of talking about it. So if I had an electric car, and I know where there's a charging station in Guaymas, but if I get stuck at the border for a long wait to get across, what do you do if you have an electric car?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I wonder, does anybody know an owner of an electric vehicle that's been going across the border? I can't think of anybody. Hybrids.
Yeah. Definitely. No buses and that kind of stuff, but not an electric.
This whole conversation has made me switch the idea that a hybrid would be a better great all. I always thought the best electric vehicle for San Carlos would be a golf cart, electric golf cart with one of those little Honda electric generators, right? And you could plug it into your house to charge it, or you could have a solar panel that's charging it. But when you get out in the real world and you need to charge it, you just crank the generator on and plug it in. Actually, it's interesting we're talking about this. One of the topics I brought today, I mean, I don't want to dive into it too early, but one of the topics I brought was this idea that farmers are having to hack their tractors. I don't know if you guys have seen any of this stuff. It's been going on for a while. John Deere has done stuff like put copyright protection on their software and built processes into their devices so that you can't fix it yourself, which goes completely against farming, the natural idea of farming for hundreds of years, that it's you and your earth and your tools and you're doing it. And here are these tractors, sophisticated tractors you could have purchased, that may sit offline for hours at a time because you're not able to take a wrench to it. There's an article that
well,
I'll...
Scott,
I'm, go ahead, Bill. Can you
yeah,
hear me?
Well, oh. The thing is that those things are so complicated, you don't take wrenches to them. You know, you pull up to it with a truck and a bank of data processors and that just to diagnose it.
Well,
let alone then in the fixing is just pull a chipboard and throw another one in.
It's one guy in a pickup truck with a laptop. You got to call in from three counties over.
That's what it is.
I've got family members that deal with this on a regular basis. They're farmers in Ohio. It's got to the point my cousin Tom has gone back and completely rebuilt a 1972 Gleaner combine. And that's what he uses to run on his farm for harvesting. He he took his brand new John Deere back 2 years ago and said, you guys can keep it.
Yeah, in this article I was reading, they actually talked about how farmers are starting to look for old equipment. And it made me think about how, like, I find a refrigerator that's 20 years old, probably a better investment than buying a brand new one right now because of the whole smart appliance thing that's going on. These farmers that Sid's talking about, you're either doing it legitimately or more likely you're getting into the pirate networks. You're getting pirate. In fact, let me read this quote from this article. I thought this was great. The pirated tractor firmware still goes through the black market of paid invite-only forums. Much of it comes from Eastern Europe, and the sites themselves can be hard to access. Once there, farmers can find electronic data link servers, diagnostics programs, license key generators, speed limit modifiers, and even reverse engineered cables that they need to keep their equipment running. Now, I think about the nature of farmers in the first place, and going to your internet black market site, I think would be a more likely thing than calling for the $100 or $200 40-hour visit from the town next over. Farmers have become some of the loudest voices in the fight for the right to repair that would guarantee access to the tools and diagnostic systems necessary to fix their own stuff. And right now, apparently, there's 20 states that have right to repair bills going on. I didn't mean for this to turn political, but this is a great thing to be thinking about because the farmers are what are going to drive this idea that we can repair anything. The farmers are going to get the legislation down. And this brings to me, this is kind of the reason I bring it up now instead of saving it as a topic later, the idea of passive smart. And I think that we as tech enthusiasts have to promote this idea of passive smart devices. And these are devices that have proved themselves to us in our culture over hundreds of years as being solid, sound technology. Things like stoves and refrigerators, and things like tractors and cars, where they're not dependent on the smart aspect of it because they ran for 100 years without being smart. I think that we should be supporting legislation, and this is me, but I would encourage you to feel the same way, that the devices that are being created in the future cannot rely on that smart. They have to rely on being that device. I mean, I can't imagine owning a hammer that would need a fingerprint sensor to use it, right? I can't imagine a hammer that would need a firmware update for you to continue to drive nails with it. And I feel the same way about your home stove and your home refrigerator and the car you drive. In my vision of the future, if I want a smart device, it's a box that's plugged into that appliance. And when that box is no longer doing its job or it fails or has a problem, I can take it out of the car and the car still drives because that's what cars have been doing for 100 years. You can take it out of the fridge and the fridge still keeps food cold because that's what they've done for 100 years.
Well, we've been dealing with that in the construction world in the last 6-7 years. An example is like the emissions control devices on a lot of heavy equipment like big rock trucks and excavators and stuff like that. It recycles, the computer on the equipment sets a gate that recycles the exhaust to burn off stuff. And the software on that is notoriously horrible. So you're sitting out on a job and your lead piece of equipment's an excavator, and all of a sudden it's not going to work. Everything's perfectly fine. There's no mechanical problem, but just a glitch in software brings the entire project to a halt.
We deal
with it all the time. I just had it happen on the project last year. Brand new Hitachi excavator, and it died on them like 3 times, and it was all just software.
This is the stuff that just blows my mind. Chester, were you going to add something? I'm sorry.
I wanted to add a comment that I reminded of the good old days when I worked at my dad's service station, and we tuned up a car with new spark plugs every 10,000 miles, and every 1,000 miles we greased and changed the oil. And if the car lasted 30,000 miles, we were lucky. Today, you buy a car, you never touch it, you change the oil, maybe the tires and the battery, and 120,000, 140,000 miles later, you might have a repair. So there's good and there's bad. And frankly, I'll take the modern equipment versus what we used to have in the old days, the good old days.
Well, I guess I don't feel like you have to compromise between passive and passive smart and modern equipment. I just think you need a different design philosophy where your priorities are set in a way that the function, for me, it really is function should be first, that base function. Again, I'm talking about devices that are 100 years old. A car should be able to drive you from one place to another, regardless of whether the computer works. And I only imagine it's getting worse with the electric cars. Your infotainment center is the nervous system of your car. Could you imagine not being able to start it because you haven't gotten the latest firmware update? It just seems like a goofy way to go forward with technology. Same with the fridge. We threw away at the bed and breakfast a wall fridge because the motherboard that controlled it was no longer being produced. So it was scrapped. A $1,000+ refrigerator was scrapped because we couldn't get a computer mother to work. And even though the motherboard was burned out, it wouldn't keep things cold. Like, well, I'm getting too excited over here. I kind of feel like if you own a refrigerator, regardless of how efficient it could be, if it stops working, please keep food cold until I can get it fixed.
It's what I always get frustrated with is the disposability of things. How often do we have to buy new computers? Why can't we just fix the old ones? You know, why do we have to buy new things all the time? Why can't we fix the old? And that's what we appreciate about Mexico. They fix things. They don't just scrap them, you know? So I like that. I'd rather see something fixed than thrown away.
Yeah, sure. I would think that has more to do with their lower income economy. There's value in fixing things because people will do those jobs. And we've made things so expensive to live in I guess, first world nations that there's no value in fixing those things anymore.
If your refrigerator stops, put a block of ice in there. Then you have an ice box.
We're going way old school.
When I was a kid, my job was to empty the pan of water underneath the ice box.
Yeah, mine too.
My job was to go to the ice house and bring the ice back in my little red flyer.
I was in San Francisco. They delivered ice. We were the last house on the block to put out the ice sign.
Because you're using an ice box so long?
Yeah, we had an ice box, and then finally my grandmother gave us her old refrigerator that, you know, had a condenser on the top. It looked like a spaceship on the top.
Right. Hey, I bet that refrigerator still works, huh?
It probably would.
Sister has one of those up in her apartment. That's where she stores all of her stuff that doesn't fit downstairs, and that refrigerator works, and it's worked since, I don't know, it's always been up there. It was the maid's quarters years and years and years ago, like in when the house was built in 1905.
I think that kind of stuff is a true testimony to what I'm saying, is that when we stopped building appliances to last and built them for profit, which meant you were going to buy new ones every 10 years. That's when it started being okay for a motherboard to blow out and have to go buy another refrigerator. Whereas 100 years ago, a refrigerator kept things cold. It's just what it did. Long before we had IC chips, long before we had software. Seems to me if we had a revolution in the way we design consumer products, then these smarts could be added with just a cartridge, something of that nature. Like, and we would be buying new cartridges. It's like you want to save a little bit more electricity on your Sharp refrigerator. We'll buy the latest cartridge, and we've been able to eke out another 10 watts a month savings.
So another thing about those cars that you were talking about that were pretty, you know, it would go for 30,000, maybe even 100,000. At the same time as those unsmart cars were being made, there was also Volvos and Volkswagens and so on that were going three times as far. They were, because the nugget of the thing was good. And I agree with Scott there that by making them smart but still having the nugget underneath would probably be a way of doing it. I remember in a town I lived in, we were overcome by a regional district. So our water came from the region rather than from our town. But we had a very good well. And we thought, oh, we at least have backup. But it ended up that after a while, people wouldn't pay into keeping the well going because it costs a lot of money just to keep that well going. I thought about that with your losing electricity in Texas, you know, to keep that other system going just at marking time is an expensive thing to do.
Well, Jim, you know, what I think of did I lose it? I just lost it. I just lost my point. All I was doing was taking Jim off the screen, and it distracted my brain enough that I don't know what my point was.
Well, that's all. Us old people,
yeah,
us old people were built a long time ago, have an excuse. Your motherboard isn't working right, boy.
Hey, I'm going to be 51 this year, so I'm not young.
Well, yes, you are.
Everything is relative.
I can tell when it comes to moving furniture in the bed and breakfast that time is catching up with Scott.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, he does a lot of work, no doubt about it, but boy, he goes home at night kind of bent.
That is funny. The last few years that we've had to arrange furniture, I've had to have more help, and we've had to take breaks to be careful with my back.
That's a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
Water, boy, I wish I could get back to where I was, but I've lost it now.
We're talking about the cars that had the module that you could change the computers in them.
Yeah.
And other things about keeping a system running, even though you're not using it, but only as a backup, because it costs a lot to maintain it.
Oh, I got it. Thank you, Jim. I got it. Well, all I wanted to add on to that was when you look at where we are with modern technology and our concerns for solar flares. We've always had the same risk of solar flares, but we've never had such a fragile infrastructure to be affected by them. And we've been concerned about flares ever since the turn of the century, when fires were started and telegraph lines were down and caught fire. But it really didn't have the kind of like monumental shift in our culture like solar flares like that could cause us right now. But there's a good argument for a lot of our instability in IT and network infrastructure is caused by solar flares. The reason that these things are so susceptible is because we don't build to fortify against that kind of stuff, because it's so much more expensive. And so we build the cheapest product that we can sell to make money, and it isn't fortified against solar flares, and so it is susceptible to interference and possibly being burned up. And now we're finding ourselves in this 100-year cycle of solar flares being the strongest they've ever been. I guess it's just more to the pile of we've been going along this methodology of product development, which has been driven mostly by capitalism, and there's this foresight that we're not putting into it. I think that was the end of my point.
Yeah. Either that or it's built-in obsolescence, and we're putting a lot of forethought into it.
Well, there you go. It is, actually, right? But when I say we're not putting a lot of forethought into it, it's us as a group, as a community,
yeah.
not not shaping where we want to see the future go. And so we're allowing things like planned obsolescence to be built in, because that's the best way to make money off of those products.
And then we listen to the propaganda, I mean, the advertising.
Yeah.
Look, a lot of it, though, has to do with technological improvements. And just look at the computer industry and what has transpired in our lifetime with respect to computers from the first 8088 that you had to use DOS to move around in it. But, you know, obsolescence has a lot to do with why you don't still run a 1920 automobile, you know.
Certainly. But there are some of those vehicles that have lasted a very long time.
Out here in Vancouver Island, we got Rolls and Mercedes and things like that that are still going. It's still going.
Wow, James is living the high life out there.
Well, I don't have them.
Okay. I'm like, are you describing your garage? You don't sound very Canadian to me.
No, I don't have any of those, but they're around. You see them around, and in California, you see some too. You know, but.
Some of those older vehicles. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. I wanted to follow up. If you guys are ready for a subject change, that was all impromptu talk, but feels like we're kind of at an impasse. And I got one thing that I wanted to follow up from last week. In the midst, I was listening to our audio. And in the midst of a conversation about iDevices, I started talking about Amazon devices. And that might have been confusing, because it was confusing when I listened to it later. I was trying to make a point about music plans, and I never did make the point. And it was in the wrong place in our discussion. So I just wanted to go back to that and say the conclusion of what I was trying to get at is if you want music on an Amazon smart speaker in different rooms, you must use different accounts, and you have to buy the family unlimited music plan. You've got the unlimited plan that gives you a whole library of music. You've got family plans that allow you to share your Amazon devices amongst a number of accounts. And then you also have the unlimited music family plan that allows you to use up to 6 devices at the same time for different content. I did not make that clear because I was having trouble making it clear. And if it was really confusing, it wasn't the right point to be making at the time. But I'll put a link to Amazon's offer so you can see what I'm talking about. Any other people have any follow-ups from our last meeting?
Just on that one.
Okay.
So the Amazon account, like Amazon Prime,
yes,
is the account. Okay. And you can have it so that you can have one device or you can have multi devices underneath your Amazon Prime music plan.
Yes.
And then if you're saying that if you buy the deluxe one, you can also add another Amazon account and they can share that deluxe Amazon Prime music plan.
Yes, but for you to be able to play 2 different sets of music on 2 different devices, then you have to use – I'm sorry, I've mixed them up again. The deluxe that you're talking – the deluxe words that you used is actually referring to Amazon Unlimited Family. So there's Amazon Unlimited Music, right. And there's Amazon Unlimited Music Family Plan, and it's the – Amazon Unlimited Music Family Plan that allows you to have more than one smart speaker playing different music at the same time. And there isn't a way to do that. So I know why this keeps getting back in my crawl, is that maybe I don't want the unlimited music. Maybe I'm happy with the 8 million songs instead of the 80 million songs. And I don't want to pay that monthly fee for access. I'm happy with the Prime. However, if I want to have different songs in different rooms, if my kids want to listen to their music in their room and I want to listen to my music in my room, then I must have this Amazon Unlimited Music Family Plan, which is an additional $6.
Okay. So there's a price for just Amazon Music.
Yeah, Amazon Unlimited Music has a price. Amazon Music comes to you with Prime.
Okay. Amazon Music comes with Prime, but it can only be played on one device.
That's right. No, it can be played on all the devices or on one device, but it's always the same content. So you could sprinkle smart speakers throughout your house and have them all playing Jingle Bell at the same time.
But when you buy that unlimited music plan, isn't there two levels?
And that's what I'm saying. There's two levels. The first one gives you access to the library, 80 million songs or more right. at this point. The second level allows you to play different songs on different devices, up to six devices.
And that's the family one.
That's the family one.
But do each of the devices have to have their own Amazon Prime?
No. No. Up to six accounts. 70 million songs. It's getting smaller. I'm looking at now. 70 million songs, up to six accounts.
Six accounts.
Yeah. Six accounts. So
you have to have another Amazon Prime account.
I thought I knew all this.
That's why I get confused too, because I know we have the Amazon Prime Unlimited Music, but we seem to purchase one that you can only play on one device. So we can have the whole library available in the living room, and then in the other room we can just have the non,
because of two different accounts. Oh wow, this is an interesting way to think about it.
One account. We only have one Amazon account.
And only one at a time.
So you can...
Here's an example. I can set up a playlist that'll play in the living room that will play any song that's on the 70 million. If I'm not playing anything on that one, I go to the bedroom and play the same playlist. There are certain songs that are missing, but it will play over there on that playlist. But they can't play at the same time. You'll get a message saying you're using another device.
Bill, the way I understand it, and I wouldn't be surprised if technically something's going wrong, but the way I understand it is you should be able to play, because you're an unlimited customer, you should be able to make your playlist out of all of those 70 songs.
No, but we have a restricted one. We pay $3.99 so that we can play the whole list through the living room. If we want to pay $8, then we could play the whole list through any one of the devices at one time. So we're on that reduced. It's you get the whole library, but it's only on one device and one device only.
The way I understood that was that you would have... You'd be able to play that whole list on any one of your devices at a time.
No. That's not how it works. We can play any song in the living room here on that device.
On that device.
We designated that one.
We designated that one.
They're on the Canadian plan.
I wonder if you do have a different offering, because the way I understand what I've read is that you should be able to, if you've got the unlimited, the music unlimited by itself, you should be able to have access to the entire library of songs, one at a time, on one device at any given time.
Yeah, or, and that's the $8 plan.
Okay.
The $4 plan is we designated a device, and that's the only one you can play the unlimited through. The other one is just Amazon Prime Music.
I guess I haven't run into that plan at all.
Well, then look it up.
But still, okay. So if you were on the you're talking about $8.99 plan. I think it's like
$8.99. Sorry,
$8.99. I think of it as the $9 plan.
$9 plan and the $4 plan.
So the way I understand the $9 plan is that you could listen to any of those songs from their library on any device in the house,
one at a time,
or every device. You'd have to put your devices in a group, but you could say play everywhere and it'll play that playlist everywhere. But that's the way it should work. At least with the $9 plan.
I know that if I'm in the bedroom and I ask for a certain song, it'll give me a little upgrade plan. You have done this with your plan. If you want to listen to this one here, you got to pay more.
That's
wild. I get
wild.
the little advertisement.
Well, I haven't run into that at all.
Well, maybe you just don't have very good music taste.
Maybe.
You know, that's the same thing that happens here in the States, too.
Yeah, Fred, you get that limited account, that limited plan on one device?
On a single device. And it does not move.
That
stays on that single device.
Well, actually, it asks. If you ask for a song that's not on it's not on the unlimited, I believe it asks if you want to change the device. You can say, I want to designate this device, maybe.
Okay,
I can't remember.
Right. Well, even if you had to go into the Amazon app on your phone and say, this is now where I want the plan, I guess that's all fine if you're saving a few bucks. What you wouldn't want to do is activate that new plan on more than, what, two devices? Because all of a sudden it's more expensive than unlimited.
Yeah, it costs you more. Yeah, you got to go to the $9 plan to do that.
Yeah. And what they have after that, and you're still, throughout all that, I mean, obviously with this limited plan you're talking about, you're only doing it on one device. But you can't play two different sets of music.
Nope.
Like, I would imagine what happens is if you go to your other device, well, gosh, I don't even know what to imagine now because that's so – under the $8 plan, I can tell you under the $9 plan, the $8.99 plan, I can tell you how it behaves. Is you're listening to whatever you want to listen to on one device. You go over to another device. You start listening to music there. The device you were listening to finishes its song and does not start another song.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's how the $8 plan works.
I'm thinking we should tie this into the old technology. I'll dig out an old reel to reel. I'll set it up in the living room and record the songs I want. Take it in that room and listen to it.
Well, you know, Bill, you could do that, and then you could set one of your speakers on intercom mode. I've never used intercom mode, but I know it exists. And you could have it broadcast that reel to reel, old school analog, to all the smart speakers in your house.
There you go.
Well, Scott, we're talking about how, you know, we're known as being cheap. But anyways, Canadians, we also have the Netflix account that limits the number of devices that it can be showing on to. So we went from $15 a month with Netflix down to $9.
I applaud your cheapness. You're finding deals that I don't think about. Let me just finish my thought with, if you're in a situation like mine, where my kids want to listen to different music in their bedroom than we want to listen to in the living room, you guys can't do that. You can't do that with the unlimited plan. You have to go up to $15 a month to do that.
Yes. $15, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And wait a minute, though. Don't we also have to have other Amazon accounts? Because that family plan only ties Amazon accounts.
It says up to 6 accounts across multiple devices. So how Amazon, I would imagine each week that happens differently. Like maybe when you think about the way Amazon has rolled things out, maybe you have to have a separate account so they can listen to their music and I can listen to my music. But maybe their intention is you can have 6 different devices playing 6 different music. Doesn't matter if they're all on the same account or not.
One thing I learned with the unlimited is I can download music and it's mine.
That's right. Yeah. On your phone, you can run the Amazon Music app and you can store the tracks on your phone and listen to them offline.
Wait a minute. On an iPhone, I could download my Amazon Music?
No,
not on an iPhone. Okay.
You can't download it on your phone. You have to download it on an Amazon device.
You can download it on an Amazon device? I didn't know that. I mean, that's cool. But you can download it onto a phone because I was just looking at it this morning.
Yes, you can.
But you can download it to a specific Amazon device, huh?
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, Fred. You're breaking up. I can't really hear you.
I stand corrected. I am wrong.
Oh, okay. Could you say it just a little louder? Or just say I'm right. I'm just playing.
You're showing your age again. But anyways, you know, I think the whole discussion last week started with me asking the question about iAccounts. And if when we buy a new new iDevice, should we create a new iAccount or should we use the one we already have? So we went off onto Amazon, but we started from my question about what are those called? They're Apple accounts. Apple accounts.
Apple ID, Apple service account. Yeah.
And I still don't really know. I haven't wrapped my head around if it's better to have more Apple accounts or if it's better to have one Apple ID.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I approached it last week like it's better to have fewer. But I think of that just from an administrative point of view. Like it's easier to keep track of billing methods and assets that you own if they're all under the same account. It gets a little cumbersome. I'm sorry.
You can family the accounts. So like right now we have three different Apple IDs and they're put into the family account and that's where the transactions and everything come out of the family. And you can set those kind of things to be across all of the accounts.
Yes. So you have to go back to the family account to change billing information. You have to go back to the organizer's account to change billing information. And that's right. I'm sorry?
You put your purchase information and everything into the organizer's, the father account. And then the other ones, all acts are just linked to that. You only have to put it in once.
Right. Right. Unless it needs to be changed. But and it can't be changed by one of the family accounts. It has to be changed by the organizer.
Correct.
But any of the family accounts can actually do their own purchasing and have their own purchase method.
No, once you're in the family account, the purchase method is set by the family.
That's actually the experience I had the other day. Somebody had put my customer's account in a family account, and we couldn't add a purchase method to her Apple ID. And there was nothing we could do about it. We could not, and I'm sure it was her son-in-law trying to do something for her because he was helping her set it up. But in the end, he's got to be contacted to release her from the family account so she can have her own purchase ID on her Apple ID.
Hmm. Yeah. That's like when you're bundling stuff, you're bundling it all together and you can't individually change out of that bundle without the parent bundler, in my case, CenturyLink, doing it. Like I can't say I want DirecTV to not be bundled with CenturyLink anymore, and DirecTV cannot do that. I have to go through CenturyLink, the parent of that bundle.
Well, as a concept, all that sound in this case, though, we're trying to determine what would be better. Is it better to have a bunch of Apple IDs that aren't related to each other or you do relate to each other? Or is it better to try and narrow them all down to one Apple ID or as few Apple IDs as possible? Like they do give you 5 gigabytes of free storage with each Apple ID, and each That's Apple right. ID gets the same special deal when you sign up, whatever deal happens to be going on. Maybe it's a free month of Apple Music or something of that nature, whereas you don't get to take advantage of that stuff sometimes with an older account.
My question is, can you sit there and your Amazon devices or your Apple devices, can they all be on the different accounts?
Well, they can. We have different accounts. My Apple ID, Apple account for my iPad is different than my Apple account for my iPhone. But you can put those different Apple accounts into a family plan, and then you can share things across them. So what we were thinking was if you buy a terabyte of storage, then it's shared across all of them. if you don't put them in the family plan, each of them has 5 gig of storage. So I'm not sure which is better.
Well, and you can only have 5 accounts in a family plan, which I suspect is intentional. Whatever the right answer is, Apple knows it. Because you can only accumulate 25 gigabytes, 5 accounts, at 5 gigs free shared amongst the accounts. You're still only looking at 25 gigabytes for free. So I'm sure Apple knows what the right answer is. It's priced accordingly.
Right. Yeah.
I can't help but look at it from an administrative point of view. I think that it gets more cumbersome when you have more accounts. I think there is a point of view, Cheryl, like you're probably taking, like, what's the best cost analysis of having more or less Apple. I think that's a totally legitimate point of view. But I just think of things like the experience I had with my customer who didn't know they were in a family group and now is completely dependent on the organizer in real life to deal with her not being able to add a credit card to her Apple ID because she was included in this family plan. Or experiences I've had in the past where people have had 1 or 2 accounts and they've had 2 or 3 accounts and they've never bothered to interrelate the accounts as a family account. They've done some purchases over here, some purchases over there. And then you end up with apps installed on your device. The apps you install are literally tied to the Apple ID. So you could have an app installed from a different Apple ID than your main Apple ID. And that's been an issue in the past. Before, you have to update an app on your phone and it starts asking you for a different Apple ID than the one you're signed into your phone with.
Well, back to your customer, I think she just should have charged it to the son-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to remember, did we try doing that? Did we try purchasing anything? I wonder if I could have just purchased anything. Yeah. No, that's an interesting idea. Well, it even got even more convoluted because she has a purchase. We were trying to buy something. Yeah, no, and we couldn't because the purchase information was invalid or out of date. And she had no interest in using that credit card in the first place. It wasn't hers. She wanted to use.
She could probably verify it, like with the expiry date or something like that. Because every so often you have to verify them.
To add insult to injury, we got into her Apple account, her Apple ID, and her purchase information, her pay information was there, but it was not available for the purchasing she was doing. So we could see her valid credit card in, like, if we went to iCloud.com and looked into her account ID, we could see her, but when we got into iTunes, we couldn't do anything because she was part of a family plan and her only method for purchasing content was through this family ID purchase method, which couldn't be validated.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do think from this conversation today that we're having that it's clear as mud that if you had thought about these things beforehand, and if you've thought out your plan, then it's probably not a big deal. It sounds like she and her son-in-law did not think this out before putting her in that circumstance. Whereas, Cheryl, you're talking about like 5 accounts you have control over. And so you wouldn't be in that circumstance.
James needs to unmute his microphone. He's been talking and not.
I think he's waiting to talk.
There he goes.
All right, now I'm ready to go. And Carolyn and I have done something similar. Started off with 1 account and then got another account. But there's something the matter with them. I think one of them is connected to an email address that we no longer have. We've changed our provider, our service provider. So it's a huge snarl up of a mess. And so we're sitting here thinking, well, do we just get rid of those two and start with a new one, a good one? Or is there some way of combining the two of them or whatever? And if anybody knows anything about that, that would really be some good in my life.
You know, just off the top of my head, I would try getting control of that account with the bad email address. If you can get logged into it, if you've got the password.
No, we don't.
Do you have devices that are connected to it? Because you may be able to get authorized on one of those devices through a validation code.
But just by using the device, and who do we get it validated right from?
Well, you go through the forgot password. And it will ask you for an alternative email or phone number, and it will ask, it'll give you validation codes to one of your devices that's signed in using that original Apple ID.
Or it will ask you one of your verification questions or something. Like it'll ask you for another way of getting in.
Yeah, because it keeps sending us messages to an account we don't have anymore.
Yeah, you have to choose a different way, but their Apple, I don't know, maybe.
It may even be worth getting Apple on the phone for, because they deal with that stuff, and they realize, I mean, that's actually some of the best customer help they have, is helping you deal with stuff like that. I just had a really successful experience with a guy whose cell phone was having problems, and so we decided to back it up and restore it. What I didn't know at the time was he'd changed his phone number. And so when the restore came back in, we had to validate the Apple ID, and it wouldn't let us validate it because it was sending the validation code to his old phone number. And the old phone number, he'd switched from U.S. service to Mexican service in the time period he was having problems with his phone. And he canceled his U.S. phone number, which was his two-factor authentication for his phone. So when it asks for a two-factor authentication, there's nowhere to send the number to. And it did take us 2 weeks to sort out, and it took having another cell phone number. But they finally reviewed his – and we didn't talk to a real person. We submitted it as a case under their automatic system. We gave them a separate phone number. You may not have to do that, James, because it's not the same situation. Mm-hmm. And they made phone calls and text messages to my cell phone to verify that that number was good. And then I gave him codes from my phone. They already have his new phone number because that's what's getting flashed back to them with every transaction for ICE. And so they know he has the new phone. I have the alternate phone. They send the code to the alternate phone. He puts it into the new phone. And finally, he's got control over his Apple ID. A lot of patience is required when dealing with those problems because it's all about validation. I forgot to mention, they had us validate a credit card because he had a credit card on file. They asked us for so many digits in his credit card number. This is all their validation process. And they took that information and the case and then came back to us 24 hours later. Yeah. Actually, but it took us 2 weeks to sort out before it was finally. And the device played an issue in it too, because there was two different places it was asking for validation. And in one of them, it would never work correctly. We learned that if one popped up, we had to cancel that so we could get to the other one. And the other one was what was making the changes and submitting the right information. And that was an iPhone thing, an iPhone iOS 14 thing.
Well, it's a conundrum for us right now.
Well, it can be done, but it's with a lot of patience. A lot of patience.
Well, we got the time.
Okay, Scott.
Yes, Bill.
I just got an email this morning from LastPass, and they said they're making some changes to their free account. That always sends a shiver down your back. And the change they're going to make is in March, I believe it is, March 16th or something, they're going to allow a free account either on a laptop, all your laptops, any laptop you have, or a free account on any mobile device, but not both. If you want LastPass to work on your laptop and your cell phone, you have to subscribe.
Wow, I haven't even seen that.
I just got it this morning. Maybe it was – I checked some email here in while you guys were talking.
No, we'll have to circle back to that on a future meeting, because that's going to screw me up.
Well, it says we're making some changes to LastPass reboot. Love being part of security, yada, yada, yada. Beginning March 16th, we will be introducing some changes. And what's changing? LastPass Free will include access on one device type of your choice. First device you log into with on or after March 16th will be your active device type. So you can have laptops, desktops, or you can have mobiles and tablets, not both.
So... Do they have the same pricing? I don't have an email from. I'm checking my email to see if I have a, but I don't have an email right
now. The pricing list here, I think. Oh, maybe not. Oh, they're going to give you 25% off. As a free user, you can upgrade $225 per month, billed annually, $27 a year. Go premium today. So
they're trying to be cheap enough that it's an easy decision.
Yeah, they're gonna slide in there with a reasonable price and make you bite.
You know what? This is gonna force me to do the research into the Chrome authentication, because they have just done something that's very similar. In fact, all the browsers have their own password management system, whereas when LastPass started, they didn't. Both Microsoft and Google have these authenticators that you can download as apps into your phone. And I haven't paid a lot of attention to them, but they've become much more robust. And it may be that one of those browsers could end up being the replacement, the free replacement for LastPass. I'll have to
look into it. They got me deep enough into LastPass now that I depend on it all the time.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way. That sounds pretty cheap, actually, just to keep doing what I'm doing.
That's what they're betting on.
Yeah, no, it's working. when you have this much computer power, apparently it's pretty easy to figure out the psychiatry of humans and how they make decisions.
Well, you think about how the hell do you get all your, I've got probably 100 different passwords in LastPass and credit cards and stuff now.
Well, keep in mind, it's convenience that you're trading off, because in LastPass you can export all of that to a spreadsheet.
Yeah, but then you got to key it back into the other ones.
Right. Yeah.
You got to migrate it. That's what
really,
I'm saying.
Before LastPass, there was a lot of us just using little black books, and that's essentially what that
or scraps of paper.
Yeah.
And one password. One password rules them all.
I've been trying to change a saved password in Firefox and haven't been able to change it. It's got an old password and it does not update. So I've got to research that.
If you go into the password section, you should be able to search it by website.
And I can do that, but I have not yet found a way to change the saved one. I can see it.
But it won't.
I figure out how to edit that.
Huh.
Because it doesn't say, we see that you're using a different password. Do you want us to update your password? It does not do that.
So you should be able to do that manually. I'm just trying to bring up my Firefox.
Maybe because I was trying to do it on an iPad rather than my laptop.
On the iPad, it's not a Firefox password, is it?
Yes, it is. I use Firefox on my iPad.
And you're synchronizing. You're using the Firefox sync.
Well, I don't know. I have an app downloaded for Firefox on my iPad.
Right. Okay, but unless you're using Firefox Sync, it wouldn't be syncing passwords. So the password stored on your iPad would only on your iPad, unless you stored it on a desktop as well. But they would be two different storages. It wouldn't be the same store. Not like the iCloud keychain, unless you're signing into the Firefox syncer. If you're signing into a Firefox account, then all your passwords flow between your desktop and your mobile device.
Well, and that's true, because my bookmarks change on my iPad and my laptop. So I am syncing, but I have not found out how to change the password. When I click on that password, it says invalid password. You're using an old password to log into Facebook.
Okay, I'm looking at Firefox right now. Yeah, I can edit the password right here from the password
So if you go into settings under autofill, there's password.
Okay.
And then that brings up a list of all your saved passwords.
Right.
And next to each website password field, there's the three dots that more. In fact, I'm going to show you this on my screen. Hold on.
Okay.
So here we are in settings. This is what settings look like when you go up to the three dots, you settings in Firefox. Damn it. This is Firefox. Let's try this again. Logins and passwords. I just gave you Chrome instructions by accident. Lockwise. I've started using Lockwise. Okay, all right, cool. There is an edit button. So again, this is Firefox. Go up to the hamburger menu in the upper right hand corner, and in that pull down list there is logins and passwords.
Okay.
That brings up this is new. It happened maybe 3 months ago, this thing called Firefox Lockwise.
Oh.
This is a password manager that can be downloaded by itself. It can be stored on your phone. It can be the version for your desktop computers is the version that comes in Firefox, but it's a standalone that you can download from your phone for your password manager. And these are the accounts that have stored passwords.
Okay.
Column to the left. And each one of them I can edit in this field to the right, and there's an edit button right here. And so there I can change the password and hit save.
Oh, look at that. Thank you.
Yeah. I would use the search at the top and search for that website, because you might find you have 4 or 5 passwords saved for that website. And maybe you have been successful to save one of them, but the circumstances you're going in, it's grabbing a different one.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
LastPass for your Firefox passwords?
I do not use LastPass, no.
You use...
I have my little black book that I write them down in. I'm still old school.
Well, and then you probably, whether intentionally or not, you're probably sharing your Apple passwords, like Safari to Safari. Email to email, because that all gets stored in your Apple ID and your keychain.
Exactly.
And the keychain gets passed around your devices.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that wouldn't be Firefox password.
No.
Well, that was a long bit of follow-up from last week's meeting and some great impromptu talks. I've still got topics, but I also want to take a chance for some recommendations, because we seem to be enjoying that so much that I'm hoping people have brought things that they have read, watched, listened to, used. Recommendations are for everything, websites and applications, devices, anything that you think we should know about that you're finding helpful. I see a hand up, so I'll let Judy go first.
I just want to thank News of the World is on down here on Netflix, and it was pretty good.
News of the World, the Tom Hanks movie?
Yes.
We watched that the other day. I am coming through on somebody's speakers, I think.
Right.
It's Kate's. Kathleen.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. So you would
have a recommendation.
You would re-recommend the News of the World, the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, I would.
To be honest with you, we watched it the other day. I think you thoroughly enjoyed it, and I fell asleep twice in it.
Well, yeah, it was a little slow, but just the idea that went on after the Civil War, I thought was really interesting, that people actually went around reading the news, that was a...
I agree. I found that part very interesting, that he had, it was like his show. You went around and did his show.
I enjoyed it. I guess I'm different.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, I think everybody liked it, Chester. You're not different. I'm just tired at night.
I do have a question, though. I finally finished the 5th year of Boardwalk Empire and looking for something else.
Well, let's hear. We've got some other hands up for recommendations. Maybe keep that in mind as people are recommending. Kathleen, you had your hand up for a moment. Did you have something to contribute?
Well, not a television program, but I'm finding that the TED Talks on technology are really fascinating. So every morning when I take my walk, I listen to a couple of them. Highly recommend it.
That's great. As podcasts, you're listening to them as podcasts, I'm imagining.
Right. Uh-huh. And these are the TED Talks. And so you can specifically then go to technology.
Have you got a specific one you've listened to recently that's got you turned on?
Oh, boy. Now I'm going to have to look at my phone.
No, no worries.
No, I can't.
Don't work too hard. No.
Yeah, no, I can't find it. But I'm enjoying it. I'll find some for you and give you some names.
We always love the TED Talks. Cheryl, I see you've got a hand up, too. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I watched Head Full of Honey.
What? That sounds like a Winnie the Pooh movie.
That's my alter ego. But anyways, full of honey. A Head Full of Honey is Alzheimer's. And it's Nick Nolte. Like, I've never seen Nick Nolte. And I quite enjoyed it. It's his relationship with his granddaughter who goes into his world as opposed to trying to force somebody with Alzheimer's to live in our world. It was a very, very interesting movie. I learned some things about Alzheimer's. I found it very entertaining and interesting, funny. It was good. So
is it new? I've never heard of it. Is it new?
Well, it came up on my Netflix number, top 10 in Canada now. So it's Nick Nolte and it's, Head Full of Honey.
Head Full of Honey. Okay.
And Chester, you said Boardwalk Empire and you're looking for something similar. Have you ever watched Suits?
What is it?
Suits.
No, I have not.
It's English, okay. Right?
No, it's American, but Meghan Markle is in it.
Oh.
So that's maybe where you got confused about the British, because after she did it, she ended up being the princess. But anyways, no, it's an older one, a series, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's lawyers and, well, this guy isn't a lawyer, but he's got a, what do you call it when you can remember everything you read?
Is that S-U-I-T-S or S-U-T-E-S?
S-U-I-T, like as in wearing them.
I'll look for that.
Oh my God.
I really enjoyed that one. And then this week I watched a series. There's three parts to the series. It's called The Sinners. And it's the common thread amongst the three series with about 8 or 10 episodes in each one is a sinner. So there's a crime that's committed, and then the detective goes into it. A lot of psychological thriller kind of things. It's quite scary and upsetting, but it is an interesting show.
The Sinner, it's got Bill Pullman in it. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know the actor, but The Sinner.
The Sinner, Jessica Biel was in the first season. Actually, her and her husband, I think, produced that. It was originally produced for one season and got so much, so they had to come up with two more seasons of stories for it. It's really good. I've watched all of it.
Have you? I kind of thought of it was like three different movies with the same character in it, you know, and they broke it down and you have to watch the whole series, it seems, because you get stuck into it, which leads to 2 o'clock in the morning nights sometimes. But anyways, The Sinners... I would recommend it. It's not easy to watch some of the things that these people have lived with.
It centers around, I don't think it centers as much around the detective in the first season. In the first season, it really felt like it was that story, that original center. But then the following two seasons really did focus around the detective and his story as much as what he was trying to solve.
Yeah.
In the first season where we get introduced to the detective, but I didn't really feel like he was the major character in the first season. I felt he was like a tool. He was the instrument we were using to learn the story. But then in the following two seasons, we really learned his story and how these kinds of investigations affect him.
Yeah, and or how his past he can relate to and start looking into these people and why they're doing the things they're doing.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great, and you find it on Netflix, the Sinner.
I had mentioned before that I had started watching Your Honor, and I dropped it after 3 hours, but now I've started back to finish the series. I enjoy it because it's in New Orleans, and I lived there for 4 years, so I can relate to a lot of the filming.
Oh, the locations and the culture?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Bill. What you got?
I don't have a movie recommendation, but I ran across a website the other day. It's called Movie of the Day, and it's a person's take on individual movies, and I find the writer very humorous. I read her review of Snakes on a Plane, and it's worth going to the site just to read that. You know, I've never
right
seen
now.
The movie. I don't even know if I will go see the movie, but that's the only one I've read, and I'm going to go back and read some more of them, but it's hilarious.
And you put the link in the chat.
Got the link there? I'm just trying to Google
in the
it.
Chat.
I'm unsuccessfully trying to. Oh, it's an Australian site.
Yes, it's Australian.
Retelling of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And it's, you know, like I say, just go read Snakes on the Plane. It's worth it. To me, it was. I might even go back and watch the movie now. She put an Easter egg in there, said that the prop, somebody in the prop department had a real sense of humor because these snakes come out of the lockers, out of, you know, the standard horror movie surprise latch onto you. It said one of the snakes had a nose ring.
Ah.
So I got to go watch just to see the nose ring, I suppose. And she gave the exact frame spot or the spot where
to find
up.
It. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now I got to go look at it. I haven't seen that movie since it was released.
Well, I have never seen it. I figured this has got to be the stupidest thing for a movie.
Yeah, but there are those of us that find real value in stupid movies.
You have way too much time on your hands.
I'd like to ask Chester, you said you watched Boardwalk Empire. How was it?
It's 5 years, 50 hours, and I think 56 hours. And it is in the period of when no liquor during the gangster period of the 1920s.
The Prohibition.
Prohibition. It's very well done. And the main character is a boss in Atlantic City. And it goes on and on and on and on. So, but I found it entertaining.
There's some really good actors that are now pretty prominent that come out of that series. That, I can't think of names of them right at the moment, but...
one of the interesting things was the very last trailer, and it went into the production and the actors and how it was all produced. I thought that trailer was very interesting.
Hey, James, you look like you had something to contribute earlier. We didn't mean to skip past you.
I think the same brain fog came to me that I caught from you.
Well, I come with one movie today that I feel like I need to share. Have you heard of a movie called King Rat? 1965,
yes.
Black and white with George Segal.
James Patterson, is it? Who wrote it? James Clavell.
I don't know who wrote it. I only know what I wrote down to tell you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But yeah, it's based on the story.
Go ahead. Sid would know better than me.
No, I read the book and watched the movie. It's a great movie.
Go ahead.
It's based on the James Clavell book.
This is the one Bill was just mentioning?
Yes.
I'm just going to sit over here and shut up. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, it's a prisoner of war movie, World War II,
And the premise is there's a guy running the camp, one of the prisoners that's just, he's the guy. He's the guy you go to for cigarettes. He's the guy that gets things done.
What's the name of it again?
King Rat.
Rat,
like rata, like sewer rat.
Oh, okay.
And I found it thoroughly enjoyable. I didn't, you know, I've told you before, I like having stuff in the background while I work, and this made me mad because it kept distracting. It was too good. I'm shooting for that mediocre quality, and this kept distracting me from getting my work done. So that's a good testimony to being an interesting movie. It was interesting to watch the interactions, and I know very little about World War II prison camps as far as the Japanese holding Americans and Englishmen, but it seemed a lot more civilized than I expected to be, though they were starving, but they had their own rank. They had their own chain of command that was going on that had to interact with the Japanese authorities as well. They had to police themselves. I'm sorry, who?
Sounds like the bridge over the River Kwai.
Oh, that's one I haven't watched, but I've heard the title a number of times.
Yeah, that's a great movie, World War II prison camp, Japanese prison camp. The famous movie.
Yeah, I've definitely heard the title. I've never taken the opportunity to watch it.
Very famous theme song, too.
Yeah, soundtrack.
Soundtrack, yeah.
Excellent movie. It'd be worth your time.
Well, I'm going to add it to my watch list.
Hey, Scott, there's even a joke in Spaceballs based on that movie.
Which one? The King Rat?
Yeah, no, The Bridge Over the River. Why? The theme the Jawas sing in Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the song from Bridge Over the River Kwai.
All right. Well, now I've got to watch both. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Spaceballs, but to me, it's one of those movies. Every time I watch it, it's better. Mel Brooks was a genius.
Yep. This is an old one, and maybe you guys have talked about this before. I don't know. It's an Australian series. It's not that old. I mean, it's a decade probably old. Called Rake, R-A-K-E. The U.S. made one, but it didn't turn, that series, but it didn't turn out as nearly as well as the Australian one. So that's, I think, a lot. It's a fun, it's a comedy, it's about lawyering, and the main character is, of course, one of these lawyers that does everything his own way, oftentimes wrong. So there's a lot of fun watching him figure out how to get out of the scrapes that he's in. There's some really, I don't know the actresses' names, but a couple of really good actresses, female actresses in it. You may recognize them. I do recognize a couple from other Australian series. Anyway, that's my offer for this meeting.
Well, thank you, Mom. Rake. I seem to remember I started watching that. Never got back.
The Long Australian time ago. One?
Yeah,
the
when Australian it was new. I tried the American one, and the American one was pretty good. It was enough for me to try the Australian one, but I think I dropped both series.
Huh.
That was years ago, though.
It might not be for everyone, but we really enjoyed it.
Might have also been the time period. You know, some of this stuff is more entertaining given where you are in your life and where we are culturally.
How desperate you are for entertainment.
That's right. How long you've been under quarantine.
Yeah, we've been watching some pretty crummy stuff here lately, just out of desperation.
When you find yourself sitting in the living room watching dust bunnies floating around in a breeze, going, hey, that one almost caught it.
When you have your ankle in a cast and they say you can't walk, that's my day now.
Oh, Mom,
Mondays,
how many more weeks do you have?
Cast. I think Monday is a walking cast.
I have a recommendation, if you guys can hear me.
Hi, Irving. We can hear you. What's your recommendation?
Okay. I don't know. It's for everyone. It's one of the top considered 100 films of all time.
Star Wars?
I love food movies, and this is one of the best. And it's called, and some of you must have seen it, it's called Babette's Feast. And the way it's spelled is B-A-B-E-T-T-E-S, Feast, like in meal. And it's a foreign film, with titles, I assume.
I think it's Belgium or Netherlands, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it's Netherlands or on the moors of Scotland. It's a takes place in a little four house village. It's a great, great film, and it is about a meal, believe it or not. But it's like I say, rated one of my favorite films. I watch it every 5 years or so. It's an older film, and I recommend it very, very highly.
What's the subject?
A meal. You like to eat?
Oh, okay.
Feast, F-E-A-S-T. But it is a lot more to it. What they're doing is they're having a celebration of their fathers, two women that run this little community. Their father invented a religion on his 100th anniversary of the religion. And it's really a great, great film. And it does have to do with a meal.
Beautiful but pious sisters Martine and Philippa grow to spinsterhood under the wrath, full eye of their strict pastor father on the forbidding and desolate coast of Jutland. Until one day Philippa's former suitor sends a part. Where's the food part of this?
Oh, that's what it's about. It's there.
Oh, here it is. Okay. A refugee named Babette to serve as the family cook. Babette's lavish celebratory banquet tempts the family's dwindling congregation who abhor such fleshly pleasures as the fine foods and wines. Interesting.
Well, as I said,
it sounds like a provocative food movie.
Well, it's one of the top movies of all time. So, and I find that great foreign films, if they come into the into our view, they're usually outstanding.
I agree with that.
I think this is it, Irving. I think I'm looking at it. If you can see my screen.
Yeah, you got the movie.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I only have one other comment before I have to leave, and that is last night I got shot number 2.
Ah, congratulations.
Way to go.
Congratulations.
How are you feeling, Chester?
I feel fine. Matter of fact,
is it the second day passed?
I accused the lady of not giving me the shot because I couldn't feel it.
Wow.
It happened so fast, I never felt it.
Did you say that was your second one?
Yes.
And you're feeling fine today?
Feeling fine.
Oh, man. Now, I felt terrible the next day. Terry waited a day, and then he fell apart. So don't plan anything tomorrow and see what happens.
Right.
Take it easy.
What Chester, what did you have? Pfizer?
I had the Pfizer.
Sandy, what did you have?
The
Moderna.
Moderna.
Thank you. I've got Scott's problem. I remember what I meant to say.
It runs in the family.
I've got my second one tomorrow and then heading to Mexico.
The same day?
No, 10 days later.
Oh, hey, good. You're giving yourself a couple days just in case. Yeah,
hey, Chester, don't take off so quickly. I've got one more topic that I think everybody will find interesting. And I also want to give Richard credit for King Rat. I had never heard of that movie until he was talking to me about it. And he piqued my interest enough that I had to go download it. But I have a topic I think all of us will find interesting. It's called radio.garden. Has anybody heard of this web address yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? You're aware of this. I just became aware of this last week. This is some pretty cool stuff. This is a web.
That's an awesome site.
Yeah, this is a website. That's the address, radio.garden. And I'm waiting for it to come up right now, and who knows how long it takes to load when you've got kids doing school in the other room and you're streaming. Here we go.
It's radiogarden.com, isn't it?
Oh, the web address I'm using is radio.garden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one I have.
Well, I wonder, it's probably the same thing. It's probably just because domains have gotten so sophisticated now. Well, this is me bringing it up. If you're looking to my screen,
I probably shouldn't let myself get distracted because it was right in front of us. But
I'm
there,
sorry.
There is a Google Earth style interface for finding geolocated radio stations. The link I have is taking me to the Wimus area, but if I scroll out of this, I'm looking at the planet. I hope you guys can see this.
Yep.
And all the green dots are radio stations where they're geographically located.
Commercial?
And why
internet.
2848 is a number. Go ahead and dial in.
Because it's got awesome quality radio available at your fingertips all over the world.
Is a number.
I just went to Alaska. This
is a Native American entrepreneur.
A list of stations available
in
Anchorage.
Meant for her, and that she's going to be able to.
Oh, you guys can't hear any of this right now because I am not.
Bless her from here forward.
And as Tom prayed for Don, we pray the same things for Serena. She is seeking just stable employment.
Well, I've used the station, and what I use it for was to find real old classic country, which
we know that it's been a hard
time, a
difficult time, more so than
Oklahoma,
we've ever experienced.
And get that kind of music.
We just pray for the joy of the.
It's a great resource.
Yeah, this
any
is
any type of music that comes, you know, from.
Wait, just like wait.
Can you
what
select?
Irving was just saying.
Just
I went into Chicago.
Like NPR.
Popular in Chicago.
Anyway,
old wild.
How long have they gone?
Wild no. West old time radio.
But I know why. Why? There's some of the best fishing in the world not far from Pueblo.
What I like about it is how easy it is to use. You just go, you click, all of a sudden you're getting entertainment. Let me switch my mic back so you guys don't have to listen to yourselves echo. Okay. So this is one of my recommendations for today is radio.garden, and it brings up, it's like a Google Earth. You can spin the Earth looking for radio stations all over the world and center in onto an area and see what radio stations are available and pick a channel and be able to listen to it directly. Incredibly fast, incredibly fast. It's a great visual indicator. It's a great visual interface. And it's got great audio quality coming out of all these stations.
Is it FM and AM?
Well, in the stations that I've been searching through, it seems like a lot of them are FM. I guess I haven't paid attention if there's AM. Let me get down. You know, there's got to be AM stations because there's a big list of them for Wimus. And there's a lot of AM. I'm still on this thing, in case you're wondering what I'm doing. I'm going back over to Mexico. Wimus would be a great place to look for FM stations. You guys can't hear any of this. There we go. Do you feel like you're in Mexico now? Anyway. It looks like FM. I would think that this would be where we would find AM stations would be in Wimus, and I don't see any listed here, so maybe it is just FM stations. But it's a very cool way to accumulate all these radio stations across the world and have access to them.
Go look in the Midwest.
Yeah, are you looking for something in particular?
Kansas. No, for AM station.
How about Denver? Oh, there's an AM station right there.
She had done so well with single family properties. I was fully
it's a talk radio station.
To handle a 55 unit complex.
Here's another one, KOAAM. So yeah, it looks like it includes any stations that have been listed as being available online.
It would be a great thing. I like this idea because I'm going to. Anyway, I think this is a great idea because so many times when you listen to radio stations, you get a very different perspective from another country. And so being able to listen to English-speaking Australians, New Zealanders, South Africans, Brits, Americans, Canadians. You know, I think you get a better perspective on the reality because people are talking to political audiences so many times in one country that you get to hear a variety.
Well, even on a superficial level, that's a lot deeper than I was thinking. But so often I just want to put some entertainment in the background. I don't want to think about it. I just want to hit a button and have something play. Whereas
I often listen to talk shows from Australia to put me to sleep in the middle of the night if I wake up.
Oh, that's great. Well, I just like the abundance, being able to spin the globe, click on a green dot and have something play almost instantly in the background. That's pretty awesome.
I found one in Greenland.
Really?
Yeah. One, that's all I saw. But it's in Inuit language of some kind, indigenous.
I wonder if the white dots are AM and the green dots are FM.
I don't have any white dots.
Okay.
They turn white when I hover over them.
Oh, maybe that's it. No. The one in Greenland is white all the time.
Il faut continuer de respecter les mesures sanitaires de base, comme maintenir la distanciation physique de 2 mètres, porter le masque et se laver les mains régulièrement. Les déplacements et les voyages sont à éviter. En cas de symptômes, il est important de se faire tester rapidement et de respecter les consignes d'isolement. Découvrez toutes les mesures en place à québec.ca/coronavirus. On continue de bien se protéger. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Hey, I didn't know I spoke French. I knew at least 2 words there.
Les Jeux des 50 ans et plus GIM lancent une nouvelle programmation d'activités à réaliser gratuitement du confort de votre maison. À compter du 8 mars, pour 14 semaines, des activités de yoga, musculation, stretching.
Well. Okay, we're gonna ride this whole segment out with on that noise.
All right.
So that goes on the recommendation list from me.
Excellent recommendation.
Yeah, very good idea.
Well, we have gone over like we typically do, and I've exhausted my list of topics. If there's anything you guys want to contribute to today's meeting, this is the moment. If not, I'm going to close us out, say goodbye, and remind you how much I enjoy talking to you. Every week, I'm so glad. I will keep doing this as long as you guys are interested. And always feel free to send me any topics you think would be great for the group. I will plan on bringing them up on the next meeting we have. Until then, you guys have a great week. I'm going to say tech on until next Tuesday.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras, everyone. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Irving.
I look forward to seeing you in Mexico soon.
Oh, excellent. Yay. You're coming down. That'll be great.
Yeah. Yay.
Congratulations, Katie.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye. Adios, all.
Scott?
Yes?
Question from your dad.
Oh, okay.
We can take it after you close.
Sure. Let's shut off here and we'll get into another meet. I'll send you a different code.
Okay.
Okay. Adios.
Bye, everyone.
See you guys.
Okay.
So that was our meeting for, February 16th, 2021. If you are looking for computer help anywhere on the internet, please, I would appreciate it if you'd get a hold of me first, Scott Stimson. You can get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net, scott@sccclub.org. Or if you're looking for remote help, I'm using an email address, remote@internationalcs.net. Until next Saturday, you all enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Tech on.